This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at the Cybersecurity Challenge with Stuart Coulson.
Hello, I am Manager of Business Engagement for Cybersecurity Challenge, which is a great job title. And what it actually means is I bring on new sponsors to the challenge. I look after the current sponsors for the challenge. And when they have an aim, for example, they may be looking at recruitment or some networking opportunities, make sure those opportunities exist for them so they can go out and get the hires they're looking for or network around the industry.
Recruitment in this industry is a nightmare at the moment. People are feeding off each other. They're just driving prices up without bringing new people in. But part of that is because they don't know how to recruit. If you haven't got a certification, it's very hard for a company to know, do you have skills, don't you have skills? You talked about bringing companies in here to help promote, sponsor the event and recruitment. Can you give us some idea of what they can gain from being involved with an event like this?
Having worked in the industry for too many years now, well over the decades, kind of scary when you look back, I look at my own skill set and I say I have lead auditor, ISO 9001. I have no cyber skill ability. And I think that's the same for quite a few people in the industry. We are experts in our field. We are experts at what we do, or we have so many years experience. We've seen it all and done most of it all. But on paper, through the normal HR process, we are unrecruitable because we don't have one of the qualifications that's required to do the job. And that creates a problem because the HR departments of most organizations, probably many of the podcast listeners right now will be echoing this thinking, that's me. You're getting 3,000 CVs a week, of which you're stripping out the people who are non-UK nationals, therefore they can't get the clearances, or you're looking at something on the CV which says, not for us, and you're going, well, and now I'm down to 25 CVs, and you've got 300, 400 job vacancies open. And straight away, that is broken, because we have immediately missed out on a whole group of people who are really passionate about cybersecurity.
But this goes back to a problem of whether HR is broken or not. And in this instance, it is. There are a lot of jobs where you can say, do they have a degree? Yes or no. Are they suitable for us? Do they have a paper qualification that they've worked for? Yes, we can take them and move them forward. This is a skill that is not necessarily tied to bits of qualification. It's more about a feel. Often many of these people out here are self-taught. And that breaks the HR process. How do we fix that?
You're absolutely right. I subscribe to your thought also that HR is broken in terms of, because there are so many CVs, they can only focus on the keywords within that CV. What the challenge brings to the table is to find the people who are really passionate about cybersecurity. The people out there who finish work, come home, they fire up the home lab and start pen testing. They're on SecurityTube, they're on the online resources, they're learning, they're trying to find how to bypass this and bypass that. So they themselves are learning. Maybe they'll use a piece of technology at work and want to know how it works. I subscribe to the thought of the child who, as a kid, sat there with a watch they got for Christmas and by Boxing Day was sat there with a bunch of cogs and springs. This is the digital version of it in this day and age. We have kids who sit and play computer games and then write mods for them and write the upgrades and the cheats and stuff because they've worked out how to do it because they're passionate about getting under the hood. They have no qualification, so HR bypasses them. So as a result, we've now got this fantastic opportunity at the challenge of finding these passionate people and saying, look, this company over here has X, Y, Z gaps in their skill set. They're looking for someone who can do your kind of stuff. They've set up a technical challenge which is going to test you on that. Do you want to have a go? Of which we've got 10,000 people at the moment currently sat in database going, yeah, we'd love to have a go.
And that's interesting because we're looking now at people who've got problem-solving skills. We're talking about people who are self-starters. But we're also talking about practical interviews, not a case of sitting in front of a group of people and say, why do you want to join my company? But here's a problem. Can you solve it? Because if you can, you clearly have a skill I can use.
Absolutely. It's a really interesting problem that companies are now starting to wake up to the fact that if there was some kind of pre-filter in their HR process, so take the company gets 3,000 CVs a week, if there was a way for them to say, okay, before you send us your CV, do this technical challenge, now send us your CV with your score, suddenly you can cut the wheat and chaff out. Probably going to have people at the top of that 3,000 list who are going to have maybe the top 100 and they'll have a really good score and you look through and go, you're a postman. You're a farmer, you're a, you know, whatever else the industry that is non-cyber related to. And you go, well, how have you got this great score? Can we get you in for an interview? We're curious. And they arrive and say, well, I'm on Twitter, I'm as this is my blog, this is my SourceForge account, it's my GitHub account. because style of person they are. And actually, as an industry, they are coming to you saying, I've got no experience of the qualification side of stuff, but I really love cybersecurity. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was given an option of two people, someone who's got a red brick university degree and he's got his MSc and he's got 300 qualifications under his name, or the person who just does it because they love this stuff, who would you rather have sat next to you doing your job? I want someone who on a Monday morning goes, great, let's go to work. I don't want someone who goes, oh God, it's Monday morning, I've got to go to work.
But there's another side to that, isn't there? We've become conditioned to assume that if they've got a university degree, therefore they have a skill that business wants. The shift in the education sector has been away from practical skills to other skills. How do we get employers to recognise that there are a lot of people out there with practical skills who may not be acceptable to their HR department, but really, these are going to be the key to the future of your secure environment?
Without it sounding like the sales path to definitely get involved with the challenge, have a conversation with us. Let's see what you're doing at the moment, how you're engaging, and let's just see, is there a gap? Are you missing the trick? Are you, for example, doing something which you could do better? There's something which we could use our brand to bring new people through your process. We've got NCC Group here today who are running this competition. They already have multiple streams to get into that organisation. They have their own ninja program. There's some fantastic academy type environments as well. So why use the challenge when they've already got this stuff? And the answer is because it's another string to that same bow. And now they can fire many different arrows at a greater population, and they've in effect increased their candidate base by a potential 10,000. One of the things I would like to say, though, is university, you're right. University used to be the be-all and end-all. And in certain industries, you are correct. You have to have a degree to almost survive in that industry. I'd like to see my dentist without a degree, because that would really be quite horrific. However, some universities have got their place in the UK. Not everything's created equally. Certainly same with employment as well. Some companies have got better academies and internship schemes than others. Universities are the same. We have some amazing universities that we work with at the Challenge. However, there are some universities out there in the UK that say they do cyber and they're not. And I'm not going to name names, but I hope that if they listen to this podcast, some of them look what they're doing and go, we should do this better. And this is, again, I think it's a systemic problem we have in the UK around lecturers who aren't given the CPD time, as we know it in the industry. They aren't given that opportunity because they have to almost monetize the student. That focus needs to change in education. I think once that's done, we would see a better growth around the university sector. I will single out Bournemouth University as one university we've worked out this year. Fantastic university. And amazing. We've done some stuff around the schools over the UK. I went up to Bradford and we had a bunch of kids who came through who were doing all sorts of challenges. And I ran a lock picking. It was a quiz that you had to do lock picking for as well. What an amazing bunch of kids. I mean, you're talking 11 to 15 year olds. I would have any of them work in my organisation at that age because they showed passion, drive, creativity. They showed every single tenet of what you would want in an organisation at a very young age. And I think it's really hopeful for the future, if I'm totally honest with you.
Which brings us back to the challenge itself. Now, I've been a supporter and we've followed the challenge, well, ever since Enterprise Times was launched. One of the things that fascinates me is you have 25 people on average minimum in a room. How much traction are you getting with organisations to come in and sponsor this? Because the cost to find one person to get them to an interview can be quite high when you factor in recruitment company fees and everything else. To have 25 potential candidates in a room seems to be a very good reason for companies to be getting involved. Is that starting to happen?
I don't know where the shift happened in organisations. Maybe some bean counter somewhere sat and did the homework and worked out how much it cost to get one person on board. The stat I have heard is £10,000. When you factor into the creation of a job advert, the placing of the job advert and having it out in industry, then you've got the receipt of all of the CVs, the mail filtering, the surveys you've got to have in there. You've got an HR person to receive all of them and sift through them, the man hours that's going to take. When you've got your interview selection list, you've then got to have a manager taken out of duty for half a day to a day. And then when they've gone through the first line, then you're going to have more communication out. So then you've got the second line interview, which will bring with an even more senior person, so their day rate is even more expensive. You can well beat a £10,000. When you actually get to the point of, I've got a person here who's interested, it's 3 months down the line. That person's actually now got a different job anyway.
to come back to what we said earlier, there's no practical in that either. So it's not as if you've then had the group of these people in, created some games, given them some tests, and got a feel for whether those skills are real or just paper-based.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. What we're hoping, and industry is now working with us on this, and all you have to do is look at the challenge website, look at the sponsors we have. We have some really, really major names. We even government agencies work with us. Create technical challenges, play the technical challenges, get yourself known, because you'll be a face-to-face or a masterclass or coming through university camps. They will see you. They will say to you, we're really interested in what you're doing. We like what you're doing. Here's my business card. Let's get in touch. Let's have a personal conversation. My name is Dave, Steve, Rachel, however it happens. You then get in touch and recruitment happens. And I am so proud to see represented today assessors who were challenge candidates. So this is someone who was network engineer. They're probably in a pretty horrific situation in their business, working every shift they can possibly reach just to keep that wage high enough. And hopefully some of the listeners of the podcast will be going, yeah, I know who that is. That's me. And you sat there thinking, how do I get myself to a better position? They've come through the challenge. They've done masterclasses. And the company they now work for is an aircraft manufacturer. So they're not a small player in the world. This is a really large company. And they are so happy in what this person's achieved, they're able to let them out, represent the brand of that organization, and go, find me another one of you. Now that, to me, it's a success story. It is not only that, it's a model which they are living themselves as an organization. It's a model that other organizations are picking up on. And we've got a new sponsor who is here today who's looking at face-to-face, because they're going to run one, and they're going, we should be doing this. We should be having assessors. And you can see them going, we want our own staff represented here. How do we do that?
But how do you widen that without weakening the brand? The effectiveness of the face-to-face is it's building towards two competitions, the European competition and the big end-of-year competition. If you have too many face-to-faces, it becomes very difficult to select, and it equally becomes difficult to keep quality up. But you've got a well-proven process for gamification, of creating those exercises. Where do you go in terms of expanding that out and providing companies, not quite with a recruitment process, but actually with a lot of those skills or a lot of those games and practical drills that they can start to use to get an understanding of those candidates?
There's two processes. The new one is SciFinks, and I'd urge everyone go and have a play on SciFinks. So it is a play-on-demand platform using a 3D avatar. Run around, jump on the furniture, play a computer game is the way my kids decided to label it the other day. And they're accurate. You literally can walk around as an avatar on a floor and click on a game and go and play a game. That is a completely new method. It's opened up a different generation of people and different style of people. So gamers are now can come and play a cybersecurity game in a 3D space, which they used to. The second thing is, we know in the industry, the only way we'll ever beat this problem of cybercrime is collaboration. We saw it last year with our first ever joined up face-to-face. We had BAE, Applied Intelligence, and we had HMGCC co-sponsoring one event. Both of those organizations worked together. One did front end, one did back end. They produced an amazing game. And as a result of that, there was a lot more budget was available. So they were able to do bigger front end work, which meant that we had, I think it was 35 candidates at that one, which means that the game players was also increased in numbers. So next year, when I look at my 2018 calendar, 19 calendar, I'm already planning for 2019 already. I'm looking at which sponsors want to work together. And therefore, I'm able to increase my number of sponsors, but at the same time, produce the same output and give everyone a better bite of the same cherry. The good thing is if you work cleverly with the sponsors, so I'll give BAE and HMGCC. HMGCC have a style of person they're looking for. BAE have another style of person they're looking for. And I have 35 players. Some of them will naturally tend towards one. Some will naturally tend towards the other. Great. Well, let's divvy the room up in half. Okay, so out of these half, which ones of HMGC, and you're looking at your half, how many of these do you want to recruit? BAE, how many do you want to recruit? Okay, and the people at the left at the bottom, right, okay, the next event will be on 4 weeks' time, go and play that one. And they roll forward to the next game and to the next until they find their niche, they find their company. This isn't just a technical ability challenge. This is a style challenge almost as well. We have our own assessors who are from industry who are not just monitoring. Great, you can hit the go button and you can type that command well. It's how do you share information around the team? Are you using ethics? Are you following the bounds of the law? Therefore, some companies are, if you're in a financial sector, you're going to need to see the law. You're going to see the need to ethics quite high on your scale. Your technical ability, they can train you that. And therefore, you're seeing recruitment now happening whereby they're being very intelligent about it and saying, I'm going to use the challenge to identify 25 people, 20 people, and out of those, I'm going to say, these top 10, they're going to need to have really good ethics. My next 10 down, ethics don't need to be as strong because they're going to work in this area over here, and I need them to maybe looking at a slightly different style because they may be looking at threat hunting. So therefore, they're going to need to be aware of dark web and such like, so they can play with that candidate style and recruit accordingly. And therefore, what a great model that makes.
I mean, ethics is always a challenge for people who've been in business, they've been in the workplace for a while, because a lot of those things will have formed depending on their work relationships. But you've also extended the challenge out with the schools programme, so employers are getting the opportunity to address a younger audience, an audience that may not go to university, an audience that actually may be immediately suited to this and find themselves, instead of by the time they get to 24 with £40,000, £50,000, £60,000 worth of debt, find themselves with houses and salaries in that region. Are employers getting that? Are employers saying to you, wow, we can actually get to people early and bring them on?
Absolutely. We've changed the model this year. We went regional. So we actually run our schools program regionally this year. And it was very, very interesting to see the regions which really blossomed and were able to throw more resource into the schools programs. For example, the Northeast, which is stereotypically the area where there's no cyber businesses and it's almost left to its own devices up in the Northeast. You know, you mentioned Bradford, most people say, I can't point to it on a map. They were really good. They were really impressive. They really got it. The schools were able to say, here are our cyber students, because the school education system, they have cyber clubs. I wish I had that as a child. I really wish. And I think that opportunity is not only coming from industry, it is coming from the schools, it's coming from the education system, not directly from the education, it is a teacher who's interested. We're so proud to work with things like CAS and et cetera and the education side. And there are a team of teachers out there who believe in the challenge also, so they're building that bubble. So we've then got this influx of students who are now coming our way. At the top end, we've got the recruiters who, in terms of the businesses, and they're saying, okay, you're 14, so in 2 years' time, you're going to be a recruitable age to you. So what we'd like to do is invite you in with your parents, walk around the business, come and have some tea and coffee, and come and see what we do, see what it's like behind the scenes of the company. Next year, if you're interested, we'll do an internship program. We'll bring you in for a week and do a bit of work experience. The year after that, you're 16. You're going to be making some big life choices. We have seen the challenge sponsors sponsoring people through university. We have seen the challenge saying to a kid, you don't want to go to university. Okay, we have an apprenticeship scheme. Come and join the academy. We have SANS as a sponsor. Now we've got an amazing academy. BT Cyber Academy is just second to none. So on and so forth. And it's great because I'm now seeing an industry which is quite young. Don't forget, computers in 1966 were quite archaic. And really in the 90s did we see computers more widespread. So this industry is really 30 years old. And in the last 3 years, we've gone from an industry that wasn't set up for this to now getting it, having cyber-only academies, and being able to put someone who's either 14, 15, 16, 45, 55 or 60 through an academy. Now, for me, brilliant. Well done to the industry. Pats on everyone's backs who's involved. Keep doing it. You're doing an amazing job. Keep doing it.
So I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Yes.
Give me some top tips for employers as to how they can better recruit in this business.
Step number one, create your own CV and apply for your own job. Go and see what your HR department does to you, and you will be quite shocked at how quickly you ended up in file 13, the round one on the floor. And I mean that very, very seriously. Don't put your own name on the top because they'll know it's you. But create a CV and say, I would like to apply for my pen test position or my security analyst or whatever position. Just see how you fare under your HR process, step one. Step two, if you think you are broken, something isn't working and you want to fix it, number one, go fix it. Number two, have a conversation with us. Step three, get involved with education. It is critical to this industry that we start now at primary school speaking to kids. How many of the listeners to this podcast have got a child at primary school who has either A, a mobile phone, B, access to a computer, some device, or C, has their own tablet in their house? Where is their cybersecurity education? Wouldn't you love it if they were a cybersecurity engineer? Because I would. Now you've got an engagement with that school, university, you can do it through STEMnet, you can do it through your own outreach programs, you can create an outreach program to go into school and talk to them about cybersecurity. Once you've got that, you've now got a young blood stream, You've got an activity through the challenge, which can be with schools, universities. You can talk about career transitioners. Once you've got that in play, you've now supported your entire HR operation, and you can then rewrite almost the process to say, if somebody comes in to HR through the challenge, I want an 80% weighting towards their CV. If they don't come through the cybersecurity challenge, 20% weighting. In other words, challenge, right, I need to look at that, because that's a pre-qualified CV. They've played a technical challenge. We know they're okay. We just need to see them on paper now as to what they look like. Their CV may look atrocious, because they may not, dare I say, they may even be on spectrum and therefore not great at writing CVs. Get them in, have the conversation, see what they're like. You may love them, you may say, okay, not for us. The second part of this, of course, is the 20%, the people who didn't come through the challenge. Let's not discount them. They are still out there. They don't know the challenge exists. We're doing as much as we can to get that message out. So the second thing is, we need to create more opportunity within challenge for players to engage with us. Hence, we're doing more face-to-faces, more schools engagement, more university. And we are only a small organisation. We have recruited more people. We still need more sponsors to create more events so that we can reach more people. And that's great, because I'm seeing our calendar pretty much full and filling rapidly. So 2018 is going to be a great year for us, 2019 even better.
Stuart, thank you for your time today.
It's an absolute pleasure.